Welcome, everybody, to the first edition of This Week in College Football, brought to CFB Talk Daily. Like I just said, this is the first edition. Hopefully, it's the first of many. Just a quick little side note. If the audio on either of our sides don't sound, A+, we're still working out some of the kinks with the software we're using, so we promise it will get better. Also, like a quick shout out to all of our 8,000 plus followers. You guys really responded well when we asked you guys to send us some of your questions that you wanted to hear us answer. So thank you guys for that, giving us some good content here to talk about today. The first question we're actually going to address is from our good friends over at The Opening Drive. If you guys are NFL fans, they give out some good content for you, so definitely go give them a follow. And their question was, do you think Georgia was snubbed from the college football playoffs? If so, what do you think the playoffs should have been with them included? What do you think, John?
Well, I think that, Georgia, they played an SEC schedule, so they probably had the best two losses that you could have, losing to LSU and Alabama. Although LSU can't score any points, but they somehow scored 30 plus on Georgia. But they're still LSU, very good team. Defense is always good. But if you're going to schedule a tough schedule, like, you have to win out. You have to win the game. You can't just say, oh, well, we schedule a tough schedule. Because, then UCF would just schedule, the hardest out-of-conference schedule ever. And then, if they lose to Alabama week one or whatever, and they're out of conference game, they'd be like, well, we played Alabama. But, they can't do that because they're going to lose.
Yeah, you made a good point with the two losses. And also, it's, crazy when you talk about, because I feel the same way, everyone. If you want to have a tough schedule and you want to end up using the we play a tough schedule cry, you have to win out. But especially this year, something I felt was kind of strange was this whole revolt around Notre Dame, and everyone said they don't play anybody. Meanwhile, they played Michigan the first week, but all of a sudden, because it was week one, it kind of gets kicked away. Now, I'm not saying the Notre Dame shouldn't be in the playoff. I'm just kind of bringing that up because I thought that was kind of an interesting little thing that happened this year.
Well, I think that Michigan game gets brought up, though, because, week one, teams are different week one than they are, later in the
season. Yeah. Michigan was playing a completely different style of football. They were trying to get away from Michigan classic football, and they were saying, Shea Patterson, we're gonna go to you. You're gonna be our offense. Where when they figured it out, they ended up not running it just through him, and that's the team of Michigan I think would have pounded Notre Dame on a completely different subject.
Yeah, but what the teams have been, I would probably say my teams have been Alabama at one, Clemson at two. As much as I hate to say it, Notre Dame at three, and then my four probably would have been Oklahoma or Ohio State, because people forget that Ohio State team dismantled the number four team in the country that was Michigan. They blew them out. It wasn't even close.
Yeah, I think I have to. For me, we have the same top three. The only thing that would change for me is I think I'd have to put Oklahoma in over Ohio State only because the quality of their loss. And that Purdue, they manhandled Ohio State.
Rondell Moore manhandled Ohio State.
But Texas is a team that beat Oklahoma, so that's their one loss. And then they ended up facing them again in the Big 12 championship game. So it's not like Oklahoma went in and lost to a Kansas State or a team that, a middle of the pack Big 12 team where, they lost to a high quality, not even just a Big 12 program, but a national program. So that's where I would have put them in at the four spot over Ohio State.
But you feel comfortable putting Oklahoma's defense in the college football playoff, though?
Oh, I don't feel confident in Oklahoma's defense to do anything. But
they couldn't stop a fly.
They couldn't stop anything. But I think when it comes down to just, quality of wins and quality of losses, I think they have a more quality loss.
Yeah, but I just can't see Oklahoma gave up almost 6,000 yards of offense this year, 6 yards of play. They gave up 450 yards a game. I can't see you putting them in the playoffs. I get it now. The offense is phenomenal. Everyone wants to see Kyler Murray, but I don't know. I don't see it.
This actually leads us into our next question from one of our followers, Tony. His question was about the playoffs. He said, what are the options to improve the college football playoff? How many teams would you guys like to see? Now, I know you're, whenever we talk about this, you're not really sold on what you think. You have a, you like to think of a lot of different ideas with it. Where with me, I kind of think the way it should be, I would like to see a Power 5 conference champion automatic in. And then if you can either do 6 or 8 teams with this, you can do one of, you know, the group of 5 or 8 with the group of 5. Mm-hmm. So I feel like the 8 would be better because, like, especially this year with the Notre Dame, I would never consider Notre Dame team a group of 5 team because they're an elite program. They're not at the level of those teams when it comes to national. But, you know, if you're doing an 18 playoff, you know, so this year you have what? Alabama, Ohio State.
Was Ohio State eight in the last
league? No. I was just saying along with the Power 5 conference champions.
Oh, okay.
We have all those guys, and then, you know, for the greater, the group of 5, you're going to get the UCF bye that everyone wants to see.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if you love them or you hate them, you either want to see UCF play in Alabama and beat them, or you want to see them play them and Alabama absolutely dismember them. Like, everyone wants to see that game for a completely different reason.
Uh-huh.
But for as much as I'd love to see it go to 6 and 8, I don't think it would happen in the foreseeable future because the fact that ESPN owns the playoffs. And right now it's about views, and that this talk about who should be in, who shouldn't be in, is views for them.
Uh-huh.
So, I think 8 is probably the best format, but for now, I think we're going to see 6 before we see 8, if we see anything at all for the next 5 years.
Well, I saw the SEC, I think, commissioner said he wants it expanded because he doesn't want to do away with the SEC championship game. He said they never will. So I think 6, like you said, is probably more realistic. But, like, just an 18 playoff this year, we would have Michigan versus Alabama, which Alabama probably wins that game. We'd have Clemson-UCF, which is probably be a better matchup if Mackenzie Milton was healthy. Then you'd have a Notre Dame, Georgia, and then Oklahoma, Ohio State, which should have been like, that's a good playoff to me. Like, I would enjoy every single one of those games.
Yeah, but, you know, with 8, you know, then you'd have to pick off a week of the season that you'd have to, you know, because with the FCS, when everyone's playing, and when FBS people are playing their rivalry weekend, the Saturday after Thanksgiving, FCS is starting their playoff. So, you know, when are you going to pick games away from scheduling to do that? I would like to see it. I wouldn't even care if the season went on into the third week in January.
Well, I mean, you could just make it. It's tough because, like, I don't really know how you would schedule it. But, like, look now, between the end of the conference championships and the playoffs, there's 2 weeks. So you just have a game either this week, which would be, you know, 1 week from playoff games, I think, right? We're 1 week away. Week and a half.
Yeah, we can have.
Yeah, so just have a game this weekend, and then, you know, then push the other game, like the second round game, back a week.
Yeah, so the second round game is the day that the championship game is now.
Yeah, then it'll be like the third week of January, like you said, and like that's not that bad. I mean,
that's it. It's an extra.
I mean, the games aren't on campus anyway, so it doesn't matter if students are there. Like,
yeah. Now, keeping on the topic of, you know, these big-time teams, another team that comes to mind when you think about these upper echelon programs is Ohio State. And one of our followers at Big Ten Champs, obviously an Ohio State fan, is asking the question, if Justin Fields is to go to Ohio State, who plays, him or Tate Martell? And that's an interesting question, John. Now, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think that it's tough because we haven't seen Fields in a college bowl. We've seen him hand the ball off. I mean, I don't know if you said, did you see the video of him the other day?
Yeah.
Where he said he hands the ball off well. I mean, that's basically what we've seen him do. I mean, we've seen him hand the ball off at Georgia, and we've seen him on 4th and 11, like, panic and just not convert 4th and 11 against Alabama. So I don't really know. Like, Fields, he's obviously very talented, but we haven't seen what he can do in college. Tate Martell, I mean, we've seen a little bit of him. We know he can move the ball. I mean, Urban Meyer was a big fan of him. I mean, he took playing time away from Dwayne Haskins at time. So, like, that's – and Haskins is going to be, what, a top 15 pick?
He should be. Yeah. If he declares.
If he declares, I mean, he took playing time away from Haskins. So that's impressive enough to me to say the Ohio State coaching staff has to see something in him.
The thing with me with these two is, you know, when a lot of people out of high school, Martell was a, I believe he was a two-time Gatorade Player of the Year. A lot of people compared him to Tebow out of high school because of his ability to move. And the truth of it is, he's more of a Johnny Manziel because of his size, which, well, behind the big line of scrimmage at Ohio State, that could be into a problem. You can't keep him in the pocket like you could have Haskins, a bigger man. I mean, Fields is 6'3". You can keep him in the pocket and not have to worry. And they have that movability where they can get out of the pocket when they need.
Mm-hmm.
So I think when I'm getting to the spring, this could be a situation where it's going to be a day by day thing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, if there's going to be a hard situation to throw a coach in for his first time, you know, Day's going to show up and he's going to have a quarterback controversy week one.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be interesting to see who wins that battle.
Yeah. So our next question, we're going to head over down to the Longhorn State. A question from Adrian Menares Jr. We always see his questions. He's always replying to our tweets. One of our longer followers we've had. He wants to know how long until Texas is competing for a national championship game. Now, this question, I think, is worded wrong, in my opinion. And I'll tell you why.
Well, I mean, I think Texas is probably two years away, maybe. I mean, I don't know. I mean, Oklahoma, they have Spencer Rattler coming in, and they also could get Fields. So even if Kyler Murray leaves, they're still probably going to be the best team in the Big 12 for at least another two years. Even though their defense sucks, their offense is very good. And a big thing for me was Texas missed out on Noah Cain and Trey Sanders. So they don't have that. They missed out on two very good running backs that could have made their team a lot better.
I'm a Tom Herman guy. I liked Herman when he was at Houston. All right. I liked what he did down. Really look at it this year. If Texas doesn't lose week one to Maryland, they're probably going in to that week 6 or 7 game against Oklahoma State when they were ranked 6th or 5th in the country. They might be in at 4 at that point, being undefeated. So I really don't think it's a question of how far Texas is, because it isn't like it's one of those situations where they're in a complete rebuild. They're not in a rebuild. They just play with Oklahoma. You know, they were for a while the number one recruiting class for the Big 12 this year. I mean, they were last year, but they were taken over by Oklahoma. So it's really just those two guys playing with everyone else. I don't see West Virginia being as high as they were this year. I think this was kind of a little ride for them that.
Like an outlier year.
Yeah, I think it's kind of, this year kind of came and gone with Will Greer.
Mm-hmm.
I think he was a huge, huge factor in their success. But the thing Texas does is, you know, they have the facilities, they have the recruiting ability, you know, they have the history. I still don't think it's a question of how far away they are.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're there because, you know, if you look historically, college football is at its highest, in my opinion, when they are good, when USC is good, and when Notre Dame are good.
Yeah.
And right now, we have two of the three teams that are all spectacular. You know, they're getting to the top part of the country. It's just USC is the farthest one behind.
USC is very far from contending.
Yeah, USC, you know, they brought in Kingsbury. Hopefully he makes the offense, you know, a little more explosive. I don't understand.
Yeah, but how do you turn nothing into explosive? Like, I get Kingsbury good, but like they're terrible.
Yeah, he's gonna have to recruit. But how do you keep Cliff Kingsbury there? I mean, how do you keep Clay Helton there?
Yeah, I don't know how they justify having Helton keep his job.
I mean, what were there were reports of James Franklin wanting to go there. I mean, this is USC we're talking about.
Yeah, you can get any coach you want, really.
I mean, if you look at the coaches they brought in, you got a guy like Lane Kiffin, who, you know, he inherited the Pete Carroll teams that were in the national championship game. You know, those great teams with Reggie Bush, and Lane Kiffin walked into a number one team in the country, and that team was unranked by the time he left, if I'm not mistaken. They were terrible. And then you go from him to Steve Sarkisian, who
drunk
couldn't run an offense because he was too drunk half the time. I think their biggest mistake was, in my opinion, was letting Coach O leave when he took over for Lane Kiffin as an interim. We're big Coach O guys, so I'm 100% biased.
Yeah, 100% on Coach O train. But I mean, if you look at Kiffin, he got fired on the tarmac. Like, he didn't even leave the airport. Like, so that wasn't
like that's how USC hasn't managed to bring in a guy like James Franklin, or I mean, if you want my early prediction, and it's, you know, someone is gonna record this, and in 3 years it's gonna be a terrible take. I know. When Clay Helton's time comes up at USC,
what should be get one
but it season? Have been this, if it's not this year, and it's, in my opinion, if he comes out next year and they start very bad again,
it'll be this year.
I can see the interim finishing off this year. I would not be surprised if next offseason we see Urban Meyer in college football at USC.
That's not happening.
I would not be surprised. He's done it before. He did it at Florida. He retired at Florida just to go to take over at Ohio State. So it's something to keep in the back of your mind. I wouldn't be surprised. I don't think this is the last we've seen of Urban Meyer. I think he's waiting for this or for the USC job or the Auburn job.
But why? The Auburn, no way he's waiting for the Auburn job, dude. Ohio State's a way better job than both, I think, better than USC and Auburn.
Oh, Ohio State is?
Yeah, I think Ohio State's a better job than both of them.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. So I completely agree with you. The only thing I would say, maybe USC and Ohio State are on the same line. They're about the same.
I disagree.
If you're looking at school prestige, in my opinion, they're about the same. Auburn is obviously below both of them.
Yeah, I think that Ohio State is definitely – I think it's probably a better job than Auburn and USC. I mean, USC has California to recruit, but Ohio State kind of has all of the Midwest, like – kids from Ohio, like Michigan's the only other program really that they compete with that much. And I don't know, they recruit nationally, Ohio State, you know, they pull kids from Florida, they pull kids from California, like wherever they want, really.
Yeah, but I mean, it's not like you're losing much in recruiting from either one of those schools. Prestige is what I'm meaning. You know, they're both highly prestigious schools.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You know, tradition, they're both top up there.
Yeah.
So we're going to start wrapping up a little bit here. We're going to head into our last question. It's just from Devin BBN, which I'm going to assume is Big Blue Nation, you know, big Kentucky Wildcat guy. But his question actually is an Oregon question, so this is more suited for you.
Yep.
He wants to know if Justin Herbert stays at Oregon, does that make them a contender for next year?
Absolutely. I think that with Justin Herbert staying, the offense was pretty good this year. Edge, you know, J.R. Waters, who a lot of people say is the most underrated recruit in the country. So he's a great receiver. They add Lance Wilhoit. He's a really good receiver. This recruiting class coming in for Oregon is just ridiculous. I mean,
this is probably the best class.
It is the best class ever for Oregon, ever. Kayvon Thibodeau, McCall Wright, a four-star corner. Mace Funa, who follows us on Twitter, awesome guy. He's very good. He probably was the number one linebacker in the country if he didn't get hurt in senior season. But then, like, it's just full of difference makers. Sean Bowers, number one all-purpose back. You know, this is just a crazy class for Oregon. And I think that adding all this talent around Herbert definitely makes them at least the best team in the Pac-12.
Yeah, I think next year, just looking at it at their schedule suits for them to have a very, very, I wouldn't say easy run at it, but their first half of their schedule is, it opened at a neutral site against Auburn, which I don't think that will be a very difficult game for them.
Not me either.
And then you Nevada and Montana.
Uh-huh.
I mean, week four, you're at Stanford. Stanford's always going to be Stanford. They're going to be a defensive team. They're well coached.
Uh-huh.
And then you're at Washington. That's a tough game. Washington always is another team. They're always bringing in guys. Defensive, they're always really good.
Yeah, I would probably say that Washington game is harder than Auburn at a neutral site.
Oh, yeah, the Washington game is, in my opinion, probably their most difficult. I mean, I don't think USC will be up enough for them to be a challenge next year.
Unless they turn into Oklahoma.
Unless Kingsbury completely turns them into an air raid, Oklahoma, play no defense. But How are you supposed to produce offense when you have no offensive weapons?
I mean, they have to have some weapons. They have I think Amos St. Brown is there. He's pretty good. But Daniels, I don't know if he's the answer. I don't know. I mean, because it takes a certain type of talent to run the air raid.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so that's my opinion on that. I think this class is they'll definitely be contenders. They're going to win the Pac-12. That's my prediction. Winning the Pac-12 isn't much, though, because the Pac-12 kind of sucks. But
so the last thing we're going to touch on here before we start really wrapping it up is we're just going to do a quick little rundown of looking and reviewing Rutgers class coming in. So throughout this whole process, you've been really active and up to the last second on the whole Rutgers recruits, everything. Everyone's flipping, everyone's signing, decommitting, doing interest, you know, all that.
Yeah.
So after signing day, what's your final conclusion?
Well, I tweeted my thoughts on this. I think that this Rutgers class, for a 1-11 team, this is a good class. You know, it's not the worst class in the Big 12, Big 10, my bad, not Big 12. But, yeah, Illinois recruited worse, and so did Maryland, I believe. But, you know, you flip Aaron Young, who was almost a 4-star running back for Michigan State, which, you know, that's a good haul. Kayron Adams from Ohio. I mean, Iowa tried to get in the flip, and he stayed solid. So you land your top two running backs. You add that to Blackshear and Pacheco. That's a solid running back stable. Donald Williams and Donovan Bunch, two very physical DBs. That's both from New Jersey, so that's good. And then I think the biggest thing is getting Drew Singleton from Michigan. Even though he's not technically like, you know, a high school kid, that's huge.
Yeah, and then even next year with a guy like Cole Snyder coming in, quarterback, especially on a team that has obviously has a quarterback question up in the air with Art. You know, what do you do with Art Sikowski?
Yeah, I think the quarterback position is wide open. I mean, and Snyder, he has a cannon for an arm. You know, like, you know, also he follows us on Twitter, so shout out to him. But he's good.
Yeah, this could be a year. You could see back-to-back true freshman starting quarterbacks. You know, you could see, you know, who knows, maybe a guy like Wimbush transfers in. He could be a grad transfer for this team, and you can redshirt your guys.
I think that Wimbush thing is maybe a possibility, but I don't know. He hasn't even announced transfer yet.
It's just a theory.
Yeah.
I've seen a bit, there's a lot of movement. There really isn't much movement because it's not serious yet. But, I mean, like you said, for a 1-11 team who doesn't really have much to sell on with the games they're playing, I mean, losing to Kansas, you can't sell that. But this, you know, it's not a bad class. It's not what it, you know, what Rutgers was with Shiano and a little bit for Flood for the first couple of years. But Chris Ash is doing, you know, he's not. I wouldn't say he's doing a great job, but I wouldn't say he's doing a poor job anymore. You know, especially with game management, with the way he took over the defense, the way they played the last couple of weeks of the season. Mm-hmm. Yeah, if he can make his defense that. You know, but every week or most weeks, that's when you can start seeing some kind of movement.
Yeah, well, I mean, my thing is, I mean, Rutgers went 1-11 this year. Last year, they were ranked 57th recruiting class in the country. This year, they're 60th after going 1-11. So it's really not that much of a, like, a drop, which is actually pretty good.
Yeah, they're staying around the same. I don't think this is going – people – automatically, because let's face it, New Jersey is one of the better states for college, for high school football in the country.
Yeah, definitely.
For high school football. Behind California, Florida, Georgia, Texas. It's New Jersey. You know, everyone said, how can you not recruit in the Big Ten? You know, it's not a one-year thing. You can't just pull kids away from Ohio State and Michigan. You know, they're going to have to do some pulling, and, you know, the 1-11s are going to happen, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I think they start selling on, you know, they're putting products in the NFL. They got more guys in the NFL than a lot of the teams in the Big Ten outside of the big boys, the Michigan, the Ohio State, the Penn State. You know, they got more guys than Illinois. They got more guys than Maryland. You know, a couple of years ago, they were a top five team putting guys in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you want to play in the NFL, you have a good chance if you come to Rutgers. It's New York media.
Yeah, I mean, especially if you're a DB. Like, I mean, if you come to Rutgers, you're guaranteed at least some, like, yeah, people are going to be watching because you're going to be playing, even if it's not for Rutgers, you're going to be playing Michigan, Ohio State. Like, people are going to see those games.
Yeah. So that's going to wrap up our first episode. Like I said, if there were some audio glitches, you know, we're still working on some technical difficulties with the software, guys. You know, let us know your feedback. We're always open to improvements. Let us know what you like, what you didn't like. And, of course, send us some questions. I'll let us guys know. Thank you guys for listening. And, oh, real quick, what we're going to do is from here until the college football championship game, we're going to do once a week. Probably try to do it around the Friday range, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, getting closer to the weekends. Once the championship game is done, we're going to do once every 2 weeks, not twice a week, once every 2 weeks. So, you know, once that happens, we'll let you guys know. Let us know your questions, anything you want us to see different. Thank you guys for tuning in, and we'll see you guys soon.
Sure.